Dan Shulman joins us now, play-by-play voice, Sportsnet and ESPN. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Well, that was not fun.
No.
Yeah.
the nightcap, when I saw it was 6-0 and with the Raptors going, my attention kind of got diverted in that direction. But the first one, they've had a lot of painful losses this year, but that one I think was especially painful. Would have been their first two-game winning streak, would have guaranteed a series win. You know, and Latos pitched great. When you've got two guys coming up from the minors, Latos and Lawrence, and you got a doubleheader on the road, you say, okay, get one. Just figure out a way to win one. And they were in position to do it, and now, you know, adding to the list of concerns is Roberto Osuna. What's going on? Velocity's down. Command hasn't been good. He's getting hit pretty hard, and it's just problem upon problem right now. You know, they're going to get healthier soon, and that's a start. And they're starting to swing the bats better, and that's a start. But they got to turn some of these one run losses or extra inning losses into wins.
Well, you're leading 4-0 after six innings. It was a combination. There's many hands that dirtied up that loss. Because you give up a run in the seventh, you give another in the eighth, and then the two-run homer in the ninth inning. He gets dinged for the two-run homer Osuna does on a 94-mile-an-hour fastball. There are days when you throw that past people, but not yesterday. And as you said, that's three times now. Yep. But we mentioned, like, so who do you turn to? Everybody that is a possibility to put in there instead of Osuna has had there are problems over the last week or so.
Yeah, no, I think they've got to hope that Osuna can figure it out. I mean, your second choice would be Grilly. And Grilly at 40 years of age, the fact that he's still as capable a major league pitcher as he is remarkable. But I think they would rather have Osuna in the ninth and Grilly in the eighth, and then Biagini and Smith ahead of them. It's going to sound old because I'm sure people are going to say it over and over again, but the guys they have just have to do better. The guys they have just have to pitch or hit more to their major league averages or major league norms. And it's a shame. You know, that one set the tone for the second game. I mean, you lose a game in that manner, you go in an hour and a half, you're playing again. And you know, Casey Lawrence is doing the best he can. He's giving them the innings they need. He was out there a long time because Gibby didn't want to kill the bullpen after what happened in the first game. But, I think they've got to figure out what the issue is with Osuna. Is he healthy? Is his neck still bugging him? Why is his velocity down 2 or 3 miles per hour? And why is he not locating as well? I mean, that pitch to Grichuk was about as down the heart of the plate as it can be. And when Osuna's really on at 96, 97, he can throw that ball by people sometimes. But at 93, 94, he's got to locate a little bit better.
Dan Shulman, Major League Baseball play-by-play voice, joining us. He's got a great Sunday night game with Chicago at Fenway Park. Cubs, not the White Sox, Cubs and Boston. And then in New York, in the Bronx, on Sportsnet for the Yankees series, which begins Monday, May the 1st. So the Jays are 6-16. I'm sure fans come up to you, other people who work in baseball come up to you and they say, what about trades? When do the phone calls, when do the emails start to manifest themselves? We don't see generally big late April or early May or mid-May trades, but we know GMs talk.
Yeah, they talk, but I think it's way too early. I don't think that kind of thing really gets going until June. I mean, listen, if they're, 11-31 at some point, then maybe it's a different story, but I don't think that's going to happen. But it's too early. I think in June is when it could start if the Blue Jays are still floundering. And clearly, if they are still floundering, it's not a question of if. It's a matter of when. And some big names with some pretty big contracts, guys near the end of their contracts, in some cases will be dealt. But I would be really, really surprised. I mean, there are two kinds of trades where you trade somebody to somebody else. They're hoping to get better, and you're hoping to get better. You know, let's just shake it up for both teams. And then there's the veteran guy for prospect. I don't think the shake it up trade is going to happen this early, and I don't think the Blue Jays are willing to cash in their chips 22 games into the season. To me, it feels like June, mid June, at the earliest. But if they keep going like this, there will be, I think, 3, 4, 5 guys on this team will be gone by the end of July.
All right, no doubt the number one name on most people's tongues right now is Eric Thames, and the start that he's gotten off to, the former Blue Jay, and he was, he's queried daily about performance-enhancing drugs, and he has been tested twice, and he had the great line, hey, look, I'm here. I've got lots of blood and lots of urine. So what's going on with this guy? I mean, he went to Korea, and he was a monster over there, and he comes back, and you never know, right, if it translates. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, Cecil Fielder did
right.
this. He was a Blue Jay, went to Japan, came back as a Tiger, and had a 50 home run season. If you listen to Eric Thames, he says it's pitch selection. He just learned how to lay off pitches out of the zone and to hone in on the one pitch that he's looking for and then to do some damage with it. You can see in his swing, he's looking to do damage. This is not a guy looking to punch the ball the other way. And he's going to cool off like Trevor Story cooled off last year. I mean, we have these situations from time to time. But I think it's a great story. I thought what John Lackey of the Cubs and Chris Bosio, the pitching coach of the Cubs, intimated about Thames was irresponsible. I don't think you should do that. I mean, he's going to get tested. He's going to get tested multiple times. We know that. And I don't think it was right for them to say what they said without any evidence to that effect. I just like seeing the smile on his face and good for him. 3 years over there and then fighting his way to get back to the major leagues and let him enjoy the ride. I mean, we've got no knowledge of him doing anything wrong any more than any other player in baseball, and there has to be a measure of innocent until proven guilty, and baseball is testing more than they ever have before. But, back to what he's doing well. I mean, he's looking for a pitch in a certain zone. He's laying off the bad ones, and when he gets that pitch in a certain zone, he's doing damage with it.
Dan Schulman, our guest. As I mentioned, you see Boston on Sunday night. There's a little bit of concern offensively 1A through the season. They probably weren't going to be an 800 OPS team. They're a little like the Jays last year. If people who came back to baseball or became new fans just thought, well, you hit like that every year, it doesn't work. It all was together for Boston last year. And even Xander Bogaerts, who's gotten off to an okay start, said last night when they couldn't get any runs for Chris Sale, look, I mean, it's the elephant in the room, but we miss David Ortiz, and we miss him badly.
Yeah, they don't have that anchor, I think, in the middle of the lineup, that power anchor that you've always associated with a lot of good teams, but with the Red Sox specifically. Mookie Betts is an MVP candidate, is a great, great player, but I think Mookie Betts was better with David Ortiz, obviously, being in the lineup, whether it was in front of him or behind him. I love Andrew Benintendi, the young outfielder, the rookie outfielder. He's sensational. I think that Bogaerts will get better. I think Pedroia will get better. They need Hanley Ramirez to get better. To me, that's the guy. That's the real wild card offensively for this team. Is it going to be a sluggish injury plague season for Hanley Ramirez, or is it going to be a year where everybody goes, wow, this guy is a stud? You know, Pablo Sandoval is another story. Who knows what they can expect out of him? He's hitting for some power, but not hitting for average. I think they'll get better offensively, but there's no question. They had a huge addition on the mound in Chris Sale and a huge loss in the lineup in David Ortiz.
All right, I got about a minute. Any of these teams going to sustain their early starts? And then the American League Yankees 13-7, White Sox who sold out 11-9, and then the National League Arizona and Colorado are 15-9 and 14-9 respectively.
Yeah, I mean the Arizona, Colorado, Yankees are all playing over 600. I don't think that'll continue. That's a 97-98 win pace, so I don't think that'll continue. But I do think all three teams are good. I've really come around on the Yankees and believe in them now that they can be a better team than they were thought they were going to be before the year. The young players are good. You know, Judge is a regular, and he's making contact. The ball's going to go out of the ballpark. Tanaka looked great last night. That's a huge change for them. Pineda, Severino, if they can be consistent, I like them. I like Arizona and Colorado, too. I know Colorado just got roughed up by Washington, who looks fantastic right now. But I think the Rockies, with their bullpen and their offense, are going to be fine. White Sox are interesting, aren't they, with the trades that they made? What if they're kind of hanging around in July? Do they still then move guys like Quintana, like Abreu, like Frazier? They're holding a lot of cards in their hand right now. They're going to be an interesting team to follow this year.
Right. They don't get Chris Sale back, though.
No.
They can't. I don't see that reversal of fortune
over in Boston. Right.
All right. Safe travels, Dan.
Thanks, guys.